Ah.
Every morning I can't actually physically wake up.
Yeah.
Prayed up at a warm station.
Praise God. Yes, Lord. Yeah, look, more. Who else felt like God touched them? Anybody else? I'm sure you all got touched, but more, Lord, more. Yeah. Lovely. There's a mic here if you don't shout.
Two things. One, I normally suffer from low back pain, so that was just absolutely amazing. And then as soon as I'd finished being prayed for, I could feel such a difference. It's absolutely amazing. That was the first thing to say. Sorry. Whoa, sorry. Oh my gosh, wow. Gosh, it's so good. Whoa.
More, Lord. Yeah, maybe best sit. Maybe I should help you there. Should I hold it still? So you don't fall over and break my microphone.
And the second thing is, it's like...
You know, these things cost a lot of money, eh? Eh? So now you fall over and land on top of it, or drop it on the floor.
Thank you for your help.
Okay.
The second thing is, like, I was standing worshipping after... Oh, just the most incredible time with God, just doing such amazing things. And the next thing I see is Lion walking through the church and God walking through the church, and I just get so incredibly whacked. I'm like, oh my gosh, God, wow, what are you doing here? Like, whoa, I can't believe it. I literally blowing my mind apart. I'm like, wow. Like, not even 5 minutes later, I don't know who said it, but someone started saying that Jesus walking through and just touching people. Mm. And I saw him putting his hands on different people. Mm. I saw him kissing people's foreheads. I saw him taking gold and pouring it over people, taking oil and just dripping on people's heads, anointing, like taking burdens away. It was absolutely incredible.
Beautiful. Stunning. Give me that before it breaks. I'm gonna take this. Doesn't mean you can preach. I just said take it, okay? Some are called, some are went, some just got given a microphone and all. I'll give you the microphone anytime, bro. I trust you 100%. 101%. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, it's always a good thing for us whenever there's kind of a sense of reviving and the moving of the Spirit, is that we get the Word of God strongly in our hearts. Don't you want to take your Bible up? Open it to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read two verses. Maybe. Thanks, Jim. And then we're going to ask, and also the guys on the board, if you could put up the first verse for me, Romans chapter 5. And then I want to ask the guys taking up the offering if they can come. Part of what we do when we take up the offering is we are sharing in the gospel. We are partnering with the message of the gospel by giving. Because you know when you give, you know what you're giving? You're giving what represents your time and effort. Who's going to go to work tomorrow? Okay, hard-earned cash. When you take it out your pocket and you put an offering, what you're saying is, that time and energy I put into that, that was time and energy that I'm giving up for the kingdom, giving up for through the local church, that the gospel can still be preached. Amen? So we give as a result of being blessed people. We don't even give in order to get blessed. Because the Bible says we have been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And faith is a positive response to what we believe in our hearts. I believe I'm blessed, so that makes it easy to tithe. I give. Offerings. Whatever you want to do. And I know we give electronically, but it's also nice when we come together in a meeting like this to physically just put something in. Anyone got some money for me? I don't have money in my pockets. Chris, come. Come. Well, look in Candy's pocket. What's the matter with you? Candy got no money. What are you going to eat afterwards? Are you running a tab over here? You're getting into trouble for that, eh? Bill, give me 20 bucks, bro. What's the matter with you? I check it's offering time. Everyone's like, arms have just shrunk. All the pockets have got deep, 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 deep. Now there's a story about Well, Matt, what's it? What you got there, bro? Come, bring me some paper. There's a story about this guy and this guy. Thank you. All right. This guy and this guy had a conversation on Monday morning at the bank. How was your weekend? This guy said, it's such a jaw this weekend. I was at Suncoast, and then I was at South Coast Sun Casino, and then I was at the Ritz, and then I was at, you know, John Dory's. And so how was your weekend? He said, hey, it's such a great weekend. Friday night, I was at the Baptist Youth. Sunday, I was at the Methodist Church. Sunday night, I was at the Presbyterian Church. So funny. I don't usually do this. But I think for years and years we had this like fear around the offering, you know, that if we didn't tithe perfectly, God would have an opportunity to punish us. Then we discovered God wants to just bless us. And when we give, we're giving that the gospel can continue to be preached. So there's joy. That's why the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, not a tearful giver. It's a giver who finds joy in his giving. So take your offering and let me pray for you. Father, tonight, as Bill and Matt have given, pressed down, shaken together and running over, Lord, according to their faith, be it in to them and to everyone else, God bless. Amen. Let's do that. Praise God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through our God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful. We should have learned by now that when you see a therefore, what's it therefore? Okay, can we do two things at once? Like take up the offering and focus. Okay, so when you see a therefore, you want to ask what it's? Therefore. So we got to say, okay, therefore is referring to the previous section in chapter 4 where Paul writes and he uses two different characters as examples of this case that he's building. And the two people are Abraham and David. And he's used Abraham and David to talk about. Quite interesting that he does that because Abraham was before the Mosaic covenant was established or the law came into being, and David was afterwards. But both of them were faith people. Both of them walked in covenant relationship with God. I mean, what we got is much better in that we've got a superior covenant, but I tell you what, those guys, he uses them to teach us in a New Testament context. David, you know that he one time even put up like a tabernacle just out of like cloth and stuff, and people could come in and party and have fun and worship God 24/7 when it was only the high priests and the Levitical priesthood and all the Mosaics. You know, David kind of missed that. So he broke the law. Sorry to pop your bubble on that one. Bible says that he pleased God because he was a man with a heart after God. But he wasn't in the same kind of covenant that we were in. Because he cried out and said, Lord, please do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And that was real for him. Because he was in an inferior covenant. Whereas we promised God, says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We don't have to pray that same prayer. Amen? Come on now, don't go reading through the Psalms and taking everything as exactly applying to you. You've got to read it through the cross and through the new covenant. Or else you'll come into condemnation and you'll come into living with a mixture of New Testament grace and Old Testament law. But David was way ahead of his time. Listen to what he says in terms of this word, therefore. Okay, we might not get past this first word, therefore. So, therefore, David says in verse 6 of chapter 4. Can we just spin that one up? Chapter 4 and verse 6, running down to verse 8, says, David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. This is what he said. These are those who are going to be blessed. You know what? To be blessed means God is going to prosper you, favor you, poise abundance on you, to be blessed of God, must be like the best thing out there. Alright? To be blessed of God is all inclusive. And he says, okay, these are the kind of guys that are going to be blessed. It's those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Never count against him. Never count against him. How often count against him? Never count against him. In this superior covenant that David was looking at a time when God would completely, through the cross of Jesus Christ, remove all sin, past, present, and future, of all people, of all races, of all religions, through the work of Jesus, that the only job left for us to do is to go and tell people that so they can believe it, and then it becomes theirs. We've got to announce people's innocence that God has already purchased on the cross. But they don't know about it. And if they don't know about it, then they stay under condemnation. So David saw this day when the blessings of God, the favor of God, the power of God would be demonstrated on his people, and he spoke forward about that. Let's look at the other character here, who's Abraham, and we can look at that in verse 13 of chapter 4. It says, "It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith." And then down in verse 23 to the end of chapter 4, the words, "it was credited to him," we're in verse 23 now, "the words, it was credited to him, were not written for him alone," Abraham, "but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." Amen. So, after he's established the case now, that there is a great inheritance, there is a great blessing, there are promises of being heir of the world, of walking in the favor of God, he says this is going to be based on a new kind of righteousness. The old kind of righteousness was performance based. It was where man was defined by his works and his actions. He was defined by his behavior. It was the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Do good, get good. Do evil, get evil. And the whole world system is in that trap, even to this very day. You're rewarded by performance. Even children, they are defined by what they do and do not do. If you behave in a certain way, you're rewarded. If you behave in a certain way, you're punished. It's the way the world system operates. You go to work. If you perform right, you get rewarded. If you don't perform right, you get punished. That's a system. And man defines himself by how well he does. Unfortunately, God never designed us to live in relationship to him that way. He designed us to live by faith. Faith in his word about what his opinion of us was. But the moment man became knowledge of good and evil, and he tried to be what God had already determined he would be, he created him in his image, now he's trying to become what he already was, the Bible calls that the fall of man. Then the law had to be given so that the law would define people according to what they do, their behavior, their action. And it would speed up the process leading to death. The ministry, Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the law is the ministry of death. Say, what law? The law of Moses. The law written on the Ten Commandments. Written on stone. That's what it talks about. That was the ministry of death. And it was that ministry that was their only understanding of being in right standing with God. The ministry of law. Now a new righteousness comes. A new righteousness that positions us in favor with God. It's the righteousness that David is talking about. It's the righteousness that Abraham is talking about. It's a righteousness that the You see, there's a difference between being forgiven and being justified. Under the old system, you could be forgiven. You took your turtle dove and your sheep and your ram and your blood and you sprinkled and you had atonement. You were forgiven. But you were not justified. Justified is a new position in God. Righteousness is a standing in God where there's no guilt, no inferiority, no separation, no fear of judgment. Right standing with God. To be justified, it's like you've never sinned. To be forgiven means you do something bad against me and I forgive you. But you still did it, but I forgive you. Justification is you come and tell me, remember that thing you forgave me about? And I say, I actually can't remember. In my mind, you never did it. That's justification. God doesn't just forgive. He justifies. He declares righteous. And this was the blessed hope that these Old Testament characters were looking forward to. And it was a gift that was coming when we put our faith in Christ. Therefore, being. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5, please. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. And that is kind of the conclusion, the foundation to now what he wants to build in the understanding that our justification that was through faith came 100% free when we put our faith in Jesus, but it cost him everything. Like someone said, the gospel's free, but it wasn't cheap. When Jesus got what you deserved so that you can get what he deserves, that wasn't cheap. When Jesus' body was broken, when it should have been your and my body broken and buried in the ground, for 3 days it should have been you and me that were eternally buried and dead and lost to God. When Jesus had a cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was you and me that should have been forsaken. When Jesus cried out, into your hands I commit my spirit. You and me would have been lost. Our spirit would have been lost from the presence of God forever. But it was because of Jesus' righteousness that he was the only man who never sinned. He was the only man who kept the law 100%. He lived the life that you could never live. But he didn't just live it for himself. He lived it for you and for me. And by living the perfect life, his blood, which was pure blood, the divine blood, when it fell to this earth, the words rang out in the universe, it is finished. Tetelestai. It has been paid in full. And all of the angels of heaven and all the hosts of the universe and all the planets began applauding and shouting and worshiping because judgment had been satisfied and the King of Glory had cried out the last battle cry over the powers of principalities of Satan and his dominion over the nations and over the planet, and he declared it is finished. And in that moment the courts of the universe were satisfied and it said, it is finished, it is over, you will be justified and put in right standing with me. Therefore, being justified by faith. Now goes on from there. I thought, just before I move on from that first verse, you know the Reformation that many of us have heard about, studied Martin Luther, though? Do you know that whole Reformation was built around what I've just said now, the last 10 minutes? It was built around the just shall live by faith. In other words, justification comes by faith. And not by performance, works, law-keeping, ritual-keeping, our behavior. It comes by faith in the finished work of the cross. That's what actually split the Dark Ages between Catholicism and Protestantism. And you know that revival is not over yet. The Reformation is not finished. The Reformation is every time God has been adding new truth, people come along and they want to now say, okay, now it's just, Jesus just died so we can go to heaven. Another group come along and say, hang on, God wants to send His Holy Spirit. Then these guys over here in this abomination, I mean denomination, say, no, we've already put the roof on our theology. Sorry, you can't. We can't take the roof off and add a new truth. The Holy Spirit must have passed away with apostles and no more signs and wonders of healing. Then these guys say, no, we see in the scripture that God wants to pour out His Spirit, and then we have revival break out in Azusa Street and breaks out in Mariah Woodworth's services and breaks out later on in all the reformers throughout the early church history. And we see a mighty movement of charismania. And in some of these churches, manage to get some of their roof off and add a little bit of this. But for most of them, they get stuck. They get established. But the Reformation's continuing. The Reformation's continuing. And you know that we are at a crucial time in church history right now. We're just coming back. Breaking out of religious mindsets. Breaking out of religiosity of relationship with God. Back into a place where we're saying, Holy Spirit, let your power come. Let the king reign. Let the king reign. Let God be king. You know, the Bible, there's a reason it says He's the King of Kings. It's because every one of you who are born again as sons and daughters of God here are the kings. And we kings under the king. And here we are not trying to create our own kingdom. We are just reinforcing His kingdom. We are those ambassadors saying His purposes are going to be on this earth. We are going to enforce it by preaching the word so that people will believe. We're going to begin speaking His word over situations, over our companies, over our schools. And as we do that, as we bring God's word into agreement with our words and speak it, we will see the same creation that took place in Genesis 1, creative power in the world today, because God's people are living by faith. The faith of the Son of God. That's the faith we've got to live by. The faith that Jesus had. Not our faith. We're not just building our kingdoms. We're just representing a higher kingdom. Ambassador doesn't come to the local government and say, you know, we really think, you know, it's my opinion that you should do this. It's my opinion you should do that. I say, we're not caring about your opinion. What does your government say? You representing your government. What does the government say? I tell you what our government says. He says, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Let the sick say I'm healed. Let those who feel abandoned say God will never leave or forsake me. And let the rest of you just be happy. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we are representing a different system, a superior government. And we are enforcing that rule of that king. And right now, a reformation is taking place because the church all over the world, there is a phenomena taking place. People are getting back to preaching the gospel, the life, death, and burial of Jesus in a new way. And it's about the finished work of the cross. And people are beginning to say, I'm tired of the six steps to this thing, and 14 ways to be this kind of leader, and 23 ways of getting this church, and 19 ways of changing my marriage. And people are saying, the gospel where Jesus died has got all sufficiency for everything I need for life and godliness. I've just got to take a hold of it. Amen. Amen. That's what we're doing. That's what we're proclaiming. That's why we are having church. That's why we are repeating some things over and over and over, because you can just judge by some of the excitement tonight that some of us are getting it. Some of us are believing it. Some of us are saying, I'm through with religion. And I'm believing that this work can actually do the job. Therefore, being justified by faith, we are in a new standing with Almighty God as His kings on earth. That when we say amen to His word, He backs what we say. He authorized us to go and take authority over storms, over a depression, over oppression. He said, go and the works I do, you will do, and even greater works, if you will, by my word, go say to that mountain and be removed into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say, it shall be done for you. And the church is starting to believe it. They're starting to get it into their hearts. And they're starting to say, let the words of my mouth agree with what my heart says. You see, we can't say we believe one thing and talk something else. We can't say we believe that at the cross, Jesus took care of all my sorrows. He was wounded for my transgression. He's a man of sorrows. And then the very next day say, I'm just so sorrowful. Because now I've come into agreement through my words that the mountain is still in my life. I believe that God will meet all my needs according to His riches and glory. Oh, I'm bankrupt. I've just come into agreement with the very mountain that I was supposed to believe when I said, I don't see it yet, but of the faith of Abraham, I'm speaking to things not as if they are. God spoke to darkness and said, let there be light. You say, well, you've got to face the facts, you know, if it's broken, then just, you know, say it's broken. The Bible says, call things are not as if they are. Doesn't say call things that are as if they're not. You know, if my arm is in this shape, I'm not going to say it's not in that shape. I'm just going to say it's something else. I'm just going to say it's healed. Now, I know, even this morning I said, I feel like I've gone back 20 years, 30 years, and I'm an old faith preacher, old health, wealth, and prosperity preacher. I'm thinking, well, that's a good thing maybe. Except now it's not based on formula. Now it's not based on, well, if I do these 5 things right and these 6 things right and, you know, change my life in this area and impress God in that area, then I'll get, you know, 4 and 4 equals 8. No, now I'm coming in total abandonment, the finished work of the cross, and I'm accessing it by faith. Faith is a positive response to what Jesus did. No longer is faith my problem. Unbelief is my problem. God has given you a measure of faith. You got all the faith you need for whatever mountain you're facing right now. Whatever place God is calling you to rule as a king. Because that's what later in the chapter it says. That through the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace, we will reign in life. Who reigns? Kings reign. Kings reign. Kings have authority in the earth. We, as long as we're speaking His word and are under His authority and under His leadership, governance, we can speak His words. And the words we speak are like Jesus speaking. That's what justification and right standing have done for us. Put us in a new league. Any man in Christ is a new creation. Old things of God, new things have come. A miracle isn't that He became sin so that you could become righteousness. A miracle is that you could become righteous. Period. I was always told as a young Christian, your head knowledge must become heart knowledge. Now I've actually discovered it's the other way around. What my spirit knows, my mind has to catch up. Because my spirit knows it's got right standing and is justified as if it never sinned in the presence of God. But our mind is where accusation, guilt, condemnation come. And then the problem is, you know, when we read the Bible, we think we're reading with our spirit. I think sometimes we do, but most of the time we're reading with our mind. So what are we doing? All depends what glasses we got. If you got religious glasses, you'll see religion. It's like we've got to detox our whole approach. I said this morning, I know I'm stepping right out of good hermeneutical practices when I say this. Woo. I'm saying, if you read passages in the Bible that make you feel condemned, make you feel guilty, make you feel judged, make you feel, you know, like some people do, because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors, the roar of the battle, I will rise against you and destroy you, and your fortresses will be devastated. O Shalham, devastated Beth Arbel on the day of battle. Oh, Jesus, please, Lord, help me. Bible says, correctly divide the word of truth. Who is he talking to? Under what covenant? And what has changed now that Jesus has fulfilled all the requirements? I look at that same passage and go, I've been delivered from that. I'm free from that. Hey, Jesus overcame that for me. Woo! Now I'm in victory over there. Do you like my little hop there? I can't dance like you, but you know, I'm working on it. That's why, you know, I shared in the Lord's Supper last Sunday. I showed how we can take that passage and be condemned. And it's just a total abomination of Scripture. Or we can take that same passage and walk in victory. Rejoice in the bread and the cup. Same passage. Why is that? One, you're reading with a renewed mind from the Spirit. The other one, you're reading from a mind full of religion and garbage. So, therefore, I rest my case. And I say, if you read something you don't understand right now, relax. Our minds are being renewed. Amen. We can get to the rest of the verse, but I think we've got enough. Let's stand up together. Thank you, Lord, for tonight, for your presence, for the moving of your Spirit. And I want to say, if there's anybody here tonight, just as our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and you don't know if you've been born again, you don't know if you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you tonight, before you leave this place, only you know the answer to that. But if you don't know if you've been properly born again, I would love to pray with you. I would love to stand with you. So just in the quietness of your heart, where you're standing right now, just call out to the Lord in whatever way you know. Just say, Father, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I believe on what He did on the cross was for me. Amen. Now I want to encourage you that if you prayed that, I want to pray a prayer with you. So before you leave tonight, come and speak to me. Okay, I'll be around you a bit. I'll be helping Corinne make cappuccinos for all our nice visitors and guests and friends. But seriously, have a wonderful week. God bless you. Enjoy.